Hi there, this is Bod from British thrash metal band Annihilated, and you're cranking it with Dave Softee and his Metal Meltdown.
there, Metal Maniacs. Please welcome Bod of Annihilated to the Metal Meltdown. How are you doing today, Bod? Thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thanks, Dave. It's nice to be here. And hello to everyone who's listening in.
Great. Great to have you here, like I said. I've been looking forward to it. I know you've been a busy guy, but we're here. Excellent.
Yeah, it's great to be. I've really been looking forward to this as well. Heard a lot about you and listened to some of the interviews. Very good. Really enjoyed the Onslaught one.
Thank you.
And I've been really buzzing all day.
Excellent. Me too, bro. I've been waiting for this. How was 2010 for you in the band?
A bit crazy.
Yeah.
We had two things that happened. Obviously, the album came out at last after 21 years. We got back into the live situation, which has been fantastic. Kicked off the year with a festival in Norway. It was amazing. Really good bands on the bill. Made a lot of new friends. Met some people who have, been into us right back to when we first turned metal, which is very sort of mid-80s, early to mid-80s, about 1984. So that was, really good. And then Simon had arrival of his seventh child. So it was an eventful year, really, for us. Really good. Yeah, lovely to be back as well with the band,
Excellent, excellent. I must tell the people out there, if they haven't checked out your 2010 release, Scorched Earth Policy is a real killer offering. To me, it has a really great old-school Bay Area thrashing sound.
That is really nice to hear. It's something that we decided on once we realized that we could play again together.
Yeah.
We thought that the most important thing that we should do is what we always did and be true to ourselves and to what we were all about. We haven't thought of ourselves in competition or set ourselves up in competition with anyone. We know who we are and what we're about and where we're coming from. So it was all about, let's just try and keep the Annihilated sound and give the fans an Annihilated album, but with a modern twist.
Excellent. Who actually made up the lineup on this CD?
Well, it's myself on drums, Simon on vocals, and he's moved to bass. He used to play guitar. Our original bassist, when we got back together again, wasn't interested in playing anymore. He packed up playing years ago. We did give him the opportunity, and we are in touch with him because we have remained very close friends, all of us, over the years. So he decided to move out. So Si's moved over onto bass and vocals. Mark is still the sort of riff master. He writes all the riffs. And we drafted in Todd, a lovely chap that we've known for years, on lead guitar. We originally kept it as a three-piece, the original three original members, until we'd written up to about eight songs, I think, because we thought to bring somebody in too early might influence the sound and the direction of the sort of comeback album, and we wanted to really keep the old school Annihilated sort of sound, really. So we drafted Todd in, by about sort of song number eight, and he just sort of basically added all his polish to what we'd already written, which worked out really well. So we ended up with a product that we wanted originally.
Excellent. To me, it sounds like Annihilated gets thrashier and heavier with each release. Even if there's a gap of some years in between there, this, I would say, is your heaviest CD to date.
Yeah, I think it is. Simon has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, huh?
Simon's always been the big driving force as far as where we're going musically as concerned. I mean, Mark writes all the riffs, as I said before. He takes care of the guitar side and range. We all have a hand in the arrangements, but Simon really has. I mean, Simon completely on his own. He does all the lyrics. and he has a really good sense of where a steer is. So we just sort of, I mean, it's a very democratic band. It always has been. That's cool. Coming from a punk rock background.
Right,
that's
right.
What it's all about self empowerment and doing our own thing. So yeah, I'm pleased to hear you say that. We certainly think it's the heaviest.
Well, you could hear it. I mean, it's not just me saying it. It's in your ears. You could hear it. How long did it take for this album to come to fruition? Was it a long period of time, or did it come together quite naturally? Could you give us a little background on that?
Well, basically, we got together. Simon wasn't really in a band as such. I was in my own band, and that had come to an end. And Mark knew that I was a bit down because I didn't have a band, I didn't have anything to do. And as we'll probably discuss a little bit later, things were really getting very sort of more sort of hectic on the net as far as Annihilated postings were concerned. So he just sort of said, look, how do you fancy just calling up Si and getting down the studio, and let's just have an evening, a bit of a laugh, a bit of a giggle, and let's get back together again, and you know, just for an evening. And we wrote Southern Cross, which is a song on the album, that night. It just happened. We just thought, wow, the magic happened, and we really did find a feat very, very quickly. So that was probably early 2009. And from that first night, obviously, we said, well, we'll meet up again next week, and we met up the next week. I think we wrote the outlines to another two songs, and we just sort of said, well, this is it, you know, this is what we'll do. We actually sat down, had a real good conversation about, look, shall we actually do something? But we kept it quiet because we thought, well, we don't want to make fools of ourselves. We'll carry on secretly and just see how things go. But it just went so well, then we announced that yeah, we're gonna come back and we're gonna write an album. So it probably took about 12, 14 months, something like that.
Awesome. You're fulfilling your destiny. It was meant to be, and you didn't jinx yourself about talking about it beforehand. Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's the most amazing feeling, I have to say. I mean, these guys are like my family. I mean, we all sort of we grew up together. We were me and Si and the original bass player Lee. We all grew up in the same estate where we went to school together. I mean, I knew Mark from very early on. And I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time living in each other's pockets and traveling around, you know, gigging and everything. So, you know, when we did actually sort of get it back together again, that whole sort of feeling of unity was fantastic. And I think that was the biggest buzz for us at the time, you know.
That's outstanding. And one of the things I really like about Scorched Earth Policy is the sound. The production on it is really good. Who actually produced the CD?
Well, it's a bit of a long story. We went to a studio called Purple Studios in Norwich, booked ourselves in, and we recorded all the tracks down. But we were having a few problems with trying to sort out a final mix. So, and we had a great time in the studio. It was like, you know, it's like a holiday camp. That's what we have in England when you all go off for a jolly together, you know. It was fantastic. It was a studio in the middle of a graveyard in this old, really old town up in Norfolk, miles away from, you know, civilization. of course, a pub down the road, which is always important.
That helps,
and we had a great time recording, and we tried some different things. Andy, the engineer there, was really helpful on some ideas, and we'd never recorded before onto a computer. We'd always used tape. Obviously, technology had completely changed, and we were trying to catch up with what was going on now.
Yeah.
But we did struggle. We had several mixes done, and we did struggle. Just wasn't quite getting to what we wanted. So Mark is quite experienced in the recording side of things, and he's invested in a studio for himself. and he basically produced the album himself.
Excellent. That's outstanding, bro. What about the cover art? I love the cover. Who did the cover art?
Cover art was done by Todd. He's our, you know, he's our sort of our artist and lead guitarist. it was a conversation we just threw up. We just thought, what exactly do we want to do? And we just had a thought that, well, if we had a raging hurricane, it would reflect the sort of power and the anger of the music and the lyrics. And we decided that our anger then was focused because of everything that was going on our government, and the same as everybody else was in the world. So we just thought, yeah, we'll focus it on Parliament, and that's what we did.
Excellent. Todd does a great job. So he's a little like a graphic designer on the side or something?
Yeah, he's a web designer, and he's very, very good at art stuff. Well, that's what we think anyway. Others might judge differently. Who are we to say? But we love what he does. And, you know, it again, all of us had an input into ideas, and we had a bit of a brainstorming and some little storyboards of different ideas and things that we wanted. And he went away and put it all together, and Bob's your uncle, as they say.
Excellent. It seems like in today's world, a lot of musicians at least have one or two members that are either a graphic designer or web designer, and that comes in very handy in making great CD art, web pages for the bands, and getting the word out. So that's a great thing to have. You're very lucky.
Yes, certainly is. I mean, the nice thing about it is that you're more independent. You have a certain amount of control over what's happening. It's very difficult to describe to somebody who's probably doesn't know you particularly well, who was a very competent artist, to try and get over what you have, and they spend a lot of time drawing up wonderful illustrations, but then you have to sort of very carefully say, well, that's not quite what we were thinking about. You see what I mean?
Right.
But with somebody in the band, there's more flexibility and more control. So yeah, it's, and I think you're right. I think a lot of bands do their own art. I mean, again, this all harps back to our beginnings, when everybody did, you know, on the independent side, they did things for themselves. It was artistic. It was good. You didn't just get a whole batch of stuff that just rolled out that looks like the same as everybody else. It's just nice to have something a little bit different, I think.
Oh yeah.
I would, you know, it's like I say, some people might like it, some people don't, but we like it, and we've had good feedback, and at the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
It's true, and what you said makes a lot of sense, because bands today, if they're not doing something for themselves, or if not everything for themselves, they're not going to get very far in the day and age that we're living in.
No, I think we've always had a strong belief in self. I don't want to sound too political, but self empowerment, basically. You know, you need to try and do as much as you can for yourself, and not have to keep relying on people. Because no disrespect to anyone, but you know, you do tend, if you are so reliant on others, you tend to find that sometimes you get let down, and that really can, you know, destroy what you're working on.
Cheers to that, bud. Hey, who is the band currently signed with?
Well, at the moment, we're with Killer Metal Records, which is a German label. That's run by a guy called Jens. He's a lovely chap, and he works very hard for us. We've only given him European distribution because we had a promise for a period of time with one of our old labels, Marquee Records in Brazil, to release the album for the rest of the world. But at the moment, I'm still waiting to hear back from Marquee to see whether they're in a position to, you know, to still release it, or whether we're going to give it to Killer Metal, because we're quite happy to you know, give it to Killer Metal if Marquee are have decided that that's not something they can do at this time. The trouble is, there's been a huge amount of flooding and all kinds of problems in Brazil. So, you know, We've never been panicking about it, but we like to give people a chance, and we always keep our word. Well, we always try to keep our word. So we've been waiting for, you know, the rest of the world, if you like, distribution to be sorted out. The contract's all been written out and everything.
Right.
But, the window's sort of getting to the end of the period of the time, really. So we're going to have to make a decision on that shortly.
Understood. Understood. Sure.
But the thing again with the modern times, of course, now everything is international. I mean, the internet, the wonderful internet, anyone anywhere can buy our CD anyway, so it isn't really a problem.
Cool. How about we take a break at this time, Bod, and crank up some more metal from Scorched Earth Policy, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what you've been up to, and even talk about the history of Annihilated. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, Metal Maniacs, crank up some more Annihilated. We'll be right back. Metal Maniacs, and welcome back, Bod. Hey, Bod, it's been on my mind. I want to ask, how did you get this nickname, Bod?
Well, it's an old school taunt. In Britain, we have a children's program, well, we used to have on the BBC, called Bod. It was a little bunch of cartoon characters. It's a little bit like Sesame Street, I suppose, that kind of thing, but it was all animated. And Bod was the leader, and he had a perfectly round head and a triangular body. and he had a bunch of different mates, and they used to get up to all kind of things, and an orchestra and everything. And because I've got a bit of a round face, certainly did when I was a little kid, when we were at school, some lad thought it would be funny to taunt me, and he shouted out something and called me Bod, and the whole class erupted in laughter. And I just thought that was a good thing, because I was a bit of the class clown anyway, so I was into making people laugh. And then obviously everybody thought that was great, so they started calling me Bod. And I kept quiet, because I didn't want them to know that I actually liked it, because I loved the program myself anyway.
That's cool.
So it kind of stuck, and even my mum used to call me Bod occasionally, and my dad, and but it's just sort of gone on from there, really. So it was started off as possibly a bit of a ribbon, but you know, it's stuck, and it always has done.
Well, Bod, that's very, very interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us. I've always wanted to ask that, and there you go. I was thinking that maybe you were like really like pumped up and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. I've had that put at me as well. Always, because I said, "No, well, look at me."
That's cute, very cute. So let's get back to what we were just hearing. Some more music off of Scorched Earth Policy. Have you guys actually been out there supporting this live?
Yeah. Well, we have, but we have a situation where now we're not young sort of teenagers with nothing to worry about, where you can just jump off and go on a massive endless tour. We all got families, we've all got children. I mean, Simon's got a massive family. He's got 7 children, and he had his 7th son, which I've been told is definitely going to be the last one. 7th child, rather. In late last year, so we weren't really sort of able to go out and do too many gigs. But what we decided to do is that instead of just going off and playing this place and playing that place, we would always just choose and select shows that we thought we'd either really enjoy, or we thought the fans would really enjoy. It'd be good for the fans. So what we've done is we've it's terrible to have to keep turning things down, and we do get offers all the time. I've just had one come in just before I was speaking to you, funny enough, involving Onslaught.
There you go.
I'm very keen to play. I think everybody is very keen to play, but we have to, you know, what with busy lives, we have to try and find times where we're all able to go and play. So we've selected some festivals. We thought what we'd do is concentrate abroad, because that's where our main fan base has always been, abroad. I mean, we've been known well in the UK, but it's mainly abroad. So we've got some. We went to Norway. We're playing Holland, Germany, and France. And Todd Todd and his girlfriend, they're expecting a baby in July.
Congratulations.
June, July.
All right.
So this is the stage where we are. These are the things that we have to work around. You see.
I totally get it. Yeah, yeah. It's about the quality of the show,
yes.
Not the quantity.
Absolutely. So we decided that that's the route we're going to go down. So we're going to be playing some shows up until about June. We have nearly written our next album. While Todd is, having to do the fatherly thing, we're going to start recording the drums and recording the next album.
Yeah.
And then maybe at the end of the year we'll do some UK shows to finish off, and see where we go from there.
Awesome. Yeah, Regina gave me the heads up about that, so we'll have something to talk about next year or whenever, you know, with the new release. We'll have you back on the show to talk about that.
Well, thanks very much. That's excellent. Oh, yeah. I'd just like to say hello to Gina. She's a lovely girl, and we're very privileged to have her as a friend, actually. She's fantastic. Her and her husband, Adrian, they run our MySpace fan site, and they look after Onslaught's fan site as well. So, you know, it's lovely to have that kind of support.
I would agree. She is a great friend, and I'm glad to be one of her friends, and I appreciate everything that she's done for the band that she supports. She is amazing. Yeah, definitely.
She's a remarkable lady.
for sure. Hey, Bud, can you tell us a little bit about your drum kit?
What would you like to know?
what is, you know, what do you play? What do you endorse? What's endorsing you?
Well, what it is, for about 14 years, I was using British gear, Premier drums, and obviously using the Zildjian cymbals. But I think it was Pearl Jam came out, and for the first time I got to hear Sabian cymbals.
Okay.
So I decided to go down the Sabian route, and I've been using those ever since. So since the sort of mid-90s I've been using Sabians, and around about the same time I was introduced to Sona, because a guy I know owns his business Sound Attack in Colchester. It's a massive drum store. They're online as well, and I don't want to plug too much, but he's a top guy. Rather sell you something for £10 that will do the job than sell you something for £1,000 that won't do the job.
Right.
So he's a good bloke, and he introduced me to Sona, and the guy from Sona kept coming into the shop, obviously, and I got to know him as well, and just sort of started a relationship along those lines, and they said, well, we'll build you a kit. So trying out different things, and we came up with a blueprint for what I wanted, and the kit was built for me. And it's all that I've got the case. It was all flight cased up, but it was all custom built and everything. And I've been using that for about 10 years. Lovely studio kit. Probably the best thing I've ever played myself. But everybody's got their own preference. And I got back in touch with Sona when we reformed, and told them about what I was doing, and they offered me an endorsement as an international artist. So that's been absolutely fantastic.
Congratulations. That's awesome to hear.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Hey, how about we talk about, for the fans out there that are just learning about Annihilated and hearing your music now, let's talk a bit about the history of Annihilated.
Okay, well, do you want to go right back to the beginning?
Yeah, when did the band originally form?
Well, I don't want to bore anyone, but...
I think you're quite interesting. I'm loving what you're saying, and you're coming in loud and clear, and I'm finding this very informative, and for the fans out there, I'm sure they're going to appreciate this, so...
I haven't heard you snoring yet, so anyway...
No, not at all, bro, not at all.
I was just a young lad at school. I had my drum kit, and a few of my friends were in my year decided that they wanted to be in a band as well, and they used to come round to my house, and we used to set up in my bedroom, and we used to punish my mother's ears and the neighbours with trying to learn, because we were all punk rockers then, trying to learn Sex Pistol songs and UK sub songs, and getting along okay. I mean, funnily enough, the Peter, the guitarist, he went on to be the founding member of hardcore punk band Extreme Noise Terror.
Right.
I don't know if you heard of them, but they're massive in the hardcore punk scene.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were all good buddies, and we decided that we would call ourselves Annihilated.
That's awesome. Who created the band's logo, actually?
I beg your pardon?
Who created the band's logo?
Well, that was much later.
Oh, yeah?
That was done by Simon and Mark.
Okay.
Mark joined much earlier, much later rather. Well, anyway, this progressed to a youth club, and then my friend Lee, he had a punk band called Prospects, and they were looking for a drummer, but they'd never played live before. So I went along to have an evening with them, and I said, "Look, let's make one band out of the two, and but I don't like the name Prospects. I want to bring my own band's name, Annihilated." And they agreed to that, and that's what it became.
You made the right decision, I would have to say. Yeah, Annihilated is the way to go.
But we decided that on one end, because the one end looked better than two ends. And at the time, like I say, we were a punk band then, and everybody was the Destructed, the Exploited, you know, GBH, and you know, so it just seemed to fall in with the time. And also, we had a lot of US Air Force base activity close to where we lived. And we knew that with the Cold War being on, that you know, we were probably going to be the first target if anything was to kick off. So, you know, Annihilated seemed pretty apt name at the time.
Very true, right?
Well, yeah.
What led to the band changing its format to a punk sound, to a thrash crossover type sound? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, basically, it was for about 2 years, going through different members, we sort of evolved. We got down to me, Lee, who was the original, the founder member, and Simon then joined. I remember we were looking, our guitarist had decided to leave, and we'd heard, well, we knew of Simon because he was 2 years younger than us, and he was very young, he was 14, and we just sort of trundled down round his house from where we were practicing. We just turned up at the door and said, "Do you want to be in our band?" And he got his amp down from his bedroom and stuck it on the kitchen table and plugged in. And we said, "Well, show us what you can do then." And he started playing some chords of Motorhead and some other stuff that we were into. So, as far as we're concerned, we looked at each other and said, "Yep, you're in then." So
fantastic.
It was a very traditional sort of way of forming the band. So it was great. And then, so then it was me, Lee, and Simon. And we had a singer called Andy. We were playing some gigs. Simon really did start bringing more of a heavy influence. He loved the Clash, and he was definitely into punk the same as us. But he was more into more of a heavier metal side, and that influence really came over.
I get it.
So after playing a few gigs, and we were starting to get very disillusioned with the punk scene, because punk originally for us was, and for many others, was about being individual, doing your own thing, being different, you know, the alternative scene, which it is still today, but it had become hijacked by politics, and it just seemed to be that you had to wear all black, and you had to have your hair crimped a certain way, and you had to conform to this kind of belief, and you had to be into hunt sabbing and all this kind of stuff. And we just thought, well, that's not what punk's all about. So we just started to move away from that. And Simon was involved in the international tape exchange scene. That was a kind of bootlegging operation, but it wasn't for money, it was for the love of music. And he would receive these tapes from all over the world, of all these obscure different bands playing all these different types of music, you know, really pushing the borders. And that had a massive influence on what we were doing.
I see.
I suppose a lot of people listening if might remember back to those days. One day he said that, "I've got this tape I think you should listen to," and it was a band. There were some demo tapes. It was quite rough, and it was a band called Metallica. And
I never heard of them before.
We put it on, and we just thought, "Wow, this is just the kind of thing that we're looking for."
I hear.
So obviously Simon Simon, at that time, we departed with our singer, and Simon decided to take on the vocal line.
Ah.
And then we drafted in Mark. Now, Mark also was in a thrash punk band, but they were very, very more metallic. And he was getting into he was influenced by the heavy metal scene, and obviously things sort of when Cyan and Mark got together, I think that was a turning point for the whole band, really. That was that we just started to go in down the more of a metallic, more of aggressive, and try to be more musical route. It was a natural progression. And then Simon got hold of this video and called me round, and I went round, and it was a really dodgy, it was a really rough videotape of this band playing in an LA club somewhere in LA. And although the sound was rough, for the first time for a bootleg recording, I could hear the drums, and it was Slayer. And okay. To hear the bass drums being played so fast, and Lombardo's technique and everything, it just absolutely blew me away. And we just sort of said, this is what we've been waiting for. So we tried to keep pushing and developing our sound, along with a few other bands in the UK, because it was all fresh. We were slated to begin with, because everyone said, oh, you're selling out, you're going heavy metal. But then people start to realise in time that, no, we were still going to keep our punk ethos, and we were still concerned with our lyrics and the kind of thing that we were doing, and we weren't going to start getting long hair and riding around on motorbikes and swinging chains about like everyone said we would. We were true to our roots, and we started gaining respect, and the punk community supported us.
Excellent. Well, when was the first release? I think that was back in 88?
No, the first, well, we were on many compilation albums.
Okay.
Right from about 1982 with punk tracks and everything. But even then, the latter ones were getting a little, you can hear the heavy sort of influence. We went into a studio in 1984 and recorded a demo. It's known as the Speedwell Sessions now. That was our earliest sort of mesh between punk and metal. Because you've got to remember, nobody had heard anything like that in this country before. Nobody knew anything about it. It was all new. Thrash metal had never been heard of before. It was starting in America, but it was only sort of diehard music fans that were picking up on it because it was so underground. It certainly hadn't really reached the UK. 1985, because we were sort of midway between, we'd left the punk thing behind, really, as far as the music is concerned, it was difficult to find anyone who'd be interested in releasing this, because they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to make of it. They didn't know where to pigeonhole it. Simon's father was made redundant, and he'd lost his job, and he was given a payoff. And he decided that he wanted to spend his redundancy on us producing our own release, which was Path of Destruction.
Aha, good for you, right?
Yep, so we went in the studio, we recorded that, and that was a self-release. It was distributed by a company called Cartel. And it just sold phenomenally. And it actually, for the East of England charts, it knocked Madonna off the top of the charts.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Pretty cool for us. It made us chuckle.
That's funny. That's funny.
That's even standing the test of time now, because it's been released by so many different labels. It's been out in China and all over the place, so many different versions of it. And it, funnily enough, it's just last week it was released on Italian label called Agipunk, and it's back on vinyl again. They wanted to do a run of vinyl, and they've done a limited edition run of coloured vinyl. If anyone's interested in that, they look on our MySpace or webpage. They'll be able to pick that up.
Excellent.
It really has sort of stood up and stood the test of time. We've got really good reviews off that, which encourages even more. And again, we were still pushing to try and get completely metal. Now, I hope I'm not sending your audience to sleep.
Not at all, bro. Not at all.
But it's a bit of a long story, but it has been a saga for Annihilated because we came from a punk background, and this is not a whinge, this is just the way it was. We were frowned on as if, oh, you're just an old punk band, you know. When we were trying, we couldn't get anyone to pick us up. We tried the major labels, they wouldn't touch us. I never really knew why, but we were playing gigs alongside all the other bands, and we were getting really good gigs, big gigs as well, playing with some big bands, but none of the labels really would touch us. Now, I think it's partly because we come from the punk background, and back then, again, you have to think of things how they were then.
And the stereotypes to go along with it, yeah. Yeah.
Other bands had been signed up, but they had been molded. I can't say everybody was, but they were metal bands, right, if you like. And by then, by the mid-80s, you know, they'd started to really, I mean, thrash metal had started to happen, thankfully, in the UK. Yeah. And because they came from heavy metal backgrounds, you know, they were favoured. The other thing is that probably went against us is that we didn't want to compromise. I can only speak from Annihilator's point of view, but we certainly were not going to be told what we're going to play, how we're going to look, who's going to be in the band, and all the rest of it. You know, if somebody wanted to sign up Annihilated, that's what they got, as far as we're concerned. That's the whole point of it.
Kudos to you and the band for keeping it real. That's absolutely
exactly
true.
We had formed ourselves. We had been through all the crap to get, you know, to get where we were, as far as getting signed is concerned. Oh, we loved it. We were enjoying it. That's why we did it. We never done this to be famous or to be millionaires, because we knew we never would. Right. But it was a very frustrating period for the band, for us, when we were playing alongside other bands and being ignored. But there you go, that's the way it is. And it took until 1988 until we actually first had our real, true, proper thrash metal album out, which was Created in Hate.
Yeah, how about we crank up a tune off of that, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about this release and the follow-up to that. How about that?
Whatever you like.
All right, Metal Maniacs, crank up some more Annihilated. This is off of Created in Hate. Crank it up. Alrighty, there you go, Metal Maniacs. That was something from the 1988 release, Created in Hate. And you see and you hear the difference between that and what we heard earlier in Scorched Earth Policy. Could you tell us more about this release, Bud?
Well, Created in Hate was an album that was basically written in the back of the van, travelling all across to all the gigs that we were playing. It was written over quite a long period of time. It's a collection of songs. We also used one of the songs off Path of Destruction, and at that particular time, we had actually become a fully fledged thrash metal a band, and it was just so nice at last to get an album out, and we had great fun recording that as well, and it was a good time.
Yeah, times were a lot different then than they are now, though, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly were.
Yeah.
But we had been playing thrash, and we certainly had been gigging, and we'd gig these songs off this album for a long time, and we'd gig them hard. So it was just so nice to actually get something onto vinyl, at last.
Yeah, vinyl, I notice, is making a resurgence. A lot of the bands that I've interviewed are bringing back their music on vinyl, special for the fans of vinyl. A lot of people feel that vinyl has better sound than CD. I think it was good for what it was, but I think CD is, what I like. But the vinyl has its other side where it's bigger, you can see it better, you can read everything that's in it. It's a beautiful thing like that. But, it seems like it's making a resurgence for sure.
Well, I think it comes back to years ago, when you bought a vinyl, you had a product in your hand. You had a piece of art that you could put on your wall.
Right, exactly.
You had a big disc to put down and put there. It was all part of the fun and the experience. You used to go into town, you should buy your records, you should get it home, you'd place it on the player. It was a bit of an event. And also, you'd have an inner sleeve. Some of the sleeves were gatefold, so you might end up with a huge, great poster with loads
exactly.
of pictures and information and everything. And it was just something special at the time. I wouldn't say that the sound of vinyl is a better quality than CD, but it certainly is a different sound.
Yes.
It's more of a warm sound. A digital sound, as Whiff realized, is very harsh. It is very hard sounding. We recorded up until Scorch Earth Policy on tape, and tape has a lovely warm sort of feel to it, warm sound. And I do love the old technology, but I have to say, after being in a studio with all the computerized nonsense, it's so much easier, and it's much easier for the tech guys and the engineers to deal with, I think. And certainly you don't get trouble with tape snapping and muck getting on the tape and ruining tracks, and which you used to back in the day.
Oh yeah, for sure, sure. Let's talk about the follow-up to this, the 1989 release,
right,
The Ultimate
yeah.
Desecration. This actually was even more thrashier than the previous, Created in Hate, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that was a very happy time for us. We concentrated on writing an album for Ultimate Desecration, and we sat down, pieced that together. Again, a lot of those songs are written on the way to gigs, and we used to, once we got a song roughly done, we used to bang that in the sets, see how it was received, see how the fans, what the reaction was and everything, and we were given a good budget to go into a really good studio and do that under a real sort of professional, and shall I say, disciplined producer. Nigel Chopper Palmer. He had a strong control over the equipment side, and he really did demand the best he could possibly get out of all of our performances. So that was a massive learning curve for us in the studio. It made us very disciplined. It made us work to very carefully worked out time periods, and we had we had so many days to do this and so many days to do that, and it really did knock us into shape as far as studio working was concerned. And we had some great fun recording that album.
And it was definitely an outstanding offering. I like the thrashier side, and that led to even more thrashier music in years to come.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I just feel I should say that obviously bands such as Slayer and Metallica did have a massive influence on us in our early days, and probably subconsciously they still do, and they should. I would say that by this album, we had sort of moved away, and we thought we had moved away from that kind of influence and drawn from other sort of bands. We all listen to different kinds of music, and we all like different kinds of bands. So I think that album probably drew influences from a wider church than our earlier stuff.
Right. But as you mentioned earlier, there was you mentioned about a 20-year gap between then and Scorched Earth Policy. Could you tell us what happened with the band during this period of time, and what you've been up to during that time?
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, by that time, by 1989, there were probably a million thrash metal bands. It had become really overcooked, and everybody was getting so tired of it because everything it had just been done to death, you know.
Yeah.
It was overprocessed, and of course the recession in Britain was looming, and it took its toll, and it wiped out a lot of the smaller independent labels, and there was a big change in the scene, in the way that labels were signing and what they were putting out, and that really did affect and see the end of many, many really, really damn good bands. But that's economics. That's the way it is. A lot of people got bogged down in record contracts and all the rest of it. And Mark just said, "I've had enough of this. I really just don't want to be doing it anymore. I'm just gonna go." And he did. He went.
Yeah, it's like a lot of metal bands of this era pretty much have gone through the same thing, and a lot of them blame the MTV and the grunge period for that. But that's not the situation with you guys, right?
Well, I don't think I think differently to that. I think with everything, change comes. There always was going to be another thing that came along. And shall I tell you what? I wouldn't say I'm particularly a great fan of grunge or anything, or that I'm not a fan of grunge. But thank God it did come along, because something needed to put this dying dog to death. The scene was just so played out, and it needed a break. And so it was a good thing that things happened like that. The diehards all were kept in there, and God bless them, why not, you know? We still always carried on loving the bands that we loved and everything. But from a playing point of view, I think it probably was best that things sort of quieted down for a while, to regroup, and for the scene to try and split off, like it did, because there was death metal came out of it, and all these different genres sort of spouted out from the carcass of the thrash metal, which is very healthy, keeping the alternative scene going. And like I say, for us, Mark left. We tried to keep things going for a little while, but it wasn't the same. So we disbanded, and that was the end of it.
For then. And, you know, the thing is, even though there's a gap of 20 years, didn't it go by pretty fast? And now that you're back, thank goodness for that, the destiny to bring you all back together, to bring out this new metal for us. When I say new metal, new thrash metal, it was destiny. So, in retrospect, that 20 years feels like it was just like a day or two, doesn't it?
Well, it does in a kind of way. I mean, we all, Annihilated, we always were, you know, like I say, we've known each other for years, we've grown up together, we always remained friends. That was always our key. Wherever we went, whatever we did, we always had a bloody good laugh. And that was the whole thing that kept us going for so long. Yeah. I mean, we had been going for about 11 years, relentlessly, just playing all the time. That's a long time for a group of guys to be together.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, I was best man at Mark's wedding, I was best man at Lee's wedding, and we were all ushers at Simon's first wedding. And, you know, so we all kept in touch, and we're all, you know, great friends anyway. Simon had done his he went into wrestling, would you believe?
Oh my god, I had no idea.
Had some success there, which is great. Knowing Simon, it was just made for him. Mark also had some bands as well. We were in a couple of bands together afterwards, but it was, rather than trying to get anywhere, it was more about the partying and having a good time and just enjoying the after gig sort of experience rather than anything. And then I had my own rock band, which is a three piece, and I had that right up until 2007, where I took them out to America and we did some gigs out there, and when they come back they decided that they didn't want to do it anymore, so the band was over. And as I said earlier on the interview, that's I was feeling a bit down, and Mark gave me a shout and said, look, come on, let's have a jam, because by that time Mark had picked up the guitar again, and he said, I'm actually starting to really get back into guitar playing again, which was great.
Excellent. It's great that this all happened. Like I said earlier, the destiny of this happening. It's great to hear this music from you again. And we have so much more to look forward to. It's awesome. Do you have a job, by the way, in support of the band? Or is the band your full-time job?
No, band's not full-time. Like I say, we have to be real. We've got families to support. I'm involved in the fire department. Simon is a social worker. Well, he's a social worker, but he runs he heads a department which cares for rehabilitation for people suffering from drug abuse and general abuse. He's very good in that kind of line. Mark is a photographer, and Toddy has got his own web design business.
Excellent. Well, Bud, I'd like to crank up some more Annihilated at this time, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about what is next for Annihilated. You had touched upon that just before. I want to bring the people up to speed, so let's crank up some more Annihilated, and we'll be right back. welcome back, Metal Maniacs, and welcome back, Bud. As you were saying before, you're working on the next offering from Annihilated. Do you actually have tunage ready for the next CD?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I should say too much about it because it's Simon's idea and baby, but it's going to be absolutely 100% pure Annihilated. So
excellent.
And the songs are even harder and harsher than more powerful than Scorched Earth Policy. So it's a great progression, but it's going to have a big different twist to the whole album. It's Simon's. Came up with this great idea. It's going to be a kind of a, dare I say it, concept album.
Ooh, that's pretty
deep. Concept album, but it's not what you think. It's we've been very, very, very careful in the way that we've constructed everything, and very, very careful the way that we're arranging things. And we're very conscious that we're not, a prog rock band from 1972. but it is going to. At the end of the day, you can keep banging out album after album after album with just a bunch of 10 songs, you know, bang, 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 bang. Or you can try and develop and do something a little bit different. Now, when we bought Scorched Earth Policy out, and when we were writing that, we were very conscious that we wanted to, like I said before, be true to the Annihilated sound and be true to our roots. And there was a lot of things that we would have liked to have done on the album, but we didn't, because we wanted to give the fans exactly what we thought they wanted to hear.
Ah, I see.
And I'm very pleased that that's what we did, and the reaction to the album has been just that.
Good.
But we thought, with Toddy now starting from scratch, from the very first song, we wanted to bring in his influence as well and his ideas, and Mark certainly wanted to do something a little bit different. Si came up with this wonderful idea. It's really cool. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to steal his fire.
Let me just say this. We will get back next year, next season. Hopefully the album will be out by then, and we'll talk about the album, the new album, in more detail at that time. So don't spoil it now. We'll just give people a little bit of info about what's going to come up, but I don't want to ruin it for you. So we'll talk about the next CD next year.
Fantastic. That would suit great.
All right. I do want to know, though, if you could tell us what the working title, if you can tell us what the next offering is going to be called, and if you have a release date planned. If you do that, then we can tell the word, spread the word on that. If not, we'll just wait till it comes out, and we'll spread the word at that time.
Well, we haven't properly decided on a working title yet. There's still some development to do, and again, I think we'll have to just wait until everything's in place, and then we'll see if it matches. But we are looking to begin recording June, July time. We're recording a couple of tracks very soon so that we can start getting them down in the studio and experimenting with sound and seeing how they come, how they rest, what the arrangements are like, so we can start toying around. A kind of demo, if you like, of the album,
okay.
But just using a couple of songs. Like I say, hopefully we'll get the album done by Christmas, but we don't know. We're all busy, holidays and all the rest of it. We'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes, Mark.
Mark is very much sort of in control of that, but we'll have to see. But I would like to think, and I expect that by the beginning, the early part of next year, it may be completed, but Mark might kick my butt for that and say, "Oh no, it's going to be a little bit further than that," or he might say, "Yeah, that's about right," but he's not here to ask, so I can't give you a date.
I fully understand, and I'm excited about what you're saying, though. And I don't know if I told you what I do for my living. I work as a Mr. Softy Ice Cream Man, and that job keeps me pretty busy from March till November. But I do this DJ thing here at Metal Messiah Radio and these interviews from November till March. So if it's any time within that time frame, I'm really stoked about having you back on the show at that time. If it takes longer than that, then we'll get it done the next season. But I definitely want to have you back on the show where we could talk about new Annihilated music and spread the word on that. And if there's any shows that are going to come up, a tour of any kind, we'll have so much new stuff to talk about the second time around, my friend.
Yes, we certainly will. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Maybe we can get all the lads in on that interview. That would be grand.
We could do that as well, sure.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
No restrictions, nope.
Well, we always try to keep things updated on our MySpace page. That's a good area of sort of information. We're going to, once we've got all the cover art sorted for the new album, we're going to launch a completely brand new website, and that will incorporate all the album. It will be themed around the whole album, which is all part of Si's plan, and so that will be something nice also to look forward to for us as well as everybody else.
Excellent.
But if anybody ever wants to keep up to date with what we're doing or anything, visit our MySpace page. It's Annihilated with one N, Annihilated, and we're the UK thrash band. There is another band I noticed on MySpace from America called Annihilated.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I knew of an Annihilator in Canada with two N's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've been around for a while as well.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's annihilated.com, which will take you to our little website that basically we're using for merchandising, or we have been using for merchandising, but there's some other information on there. But, ping us an email or send us a message. We always try to keep in contact with people. We always try to reply to each and every one, although sometimes it does get a bit busy with the backlog, but we always try to reply to everything that we get in.
Excellent. You are the man. But, hey, I like to tell the fans, I like to give them more information about where they could get Annihilated merchandise. Could you have any? Is that available through your website? Do you have any other links you could give us that they could buy either backlog CDs or if you have T-shirts or what have you? Anything out there for the fans that they could get your merchandise?
Well, obviously, Killer Metal Records will be selling Scorch Earth Policy. You can get CDs. You can get stuff through us. I am working on a deal with a massive merchandising company and have been speaking to them, but I'm trying to make sure that the terms are comfortable for us to do T-shirts, and they will be they're an online company, but they're the biggest UK distributor of heavy metal merchandise, so I'm trying to establish that at the moment. It's going really well, but again, until we've managed to decide exactly on what it is that we want, we're still in the makings of that. We have some T-shirts and patches and stuff like that that you can get from our website. There should be links on our MySpace, or just go to annihilated.com and see what there is. There's a few things on sale there.
Excellent, excellent. Is there anything that you'd like to tell your fans that are tuning in at this time, Bot?
Well, all I'd like to say is what I always say, and which is what comes from all of us. We really, really feel privileged to have the support that we get, and we've always put our fans first, and it's so nice this time around to have the internet, because we're in touch with so many people, and it's a great privilege to have so many people all over the world writing into us and offering their support. And if ever you can make it out to come and see us, don't be strangers. We're not people who disappear behind stage, come out, do our thing, and then disappear again. We always like coming out and having a few beers with the crowd and mingle with the crowd. That's what we're about. We're very much for fans and getting to know people. So don't be strangers. Come up, say hello. Just come up and say hello and hang out. It'd be absolutely great. Love to see you. Thanks very much for everything that all the support that you're giving us.
Awesome. I'd love to see you guys here in the United States. Any chance of that ever happening, you think?
Yes, I think there is. But it will be maybe later next year. Again, it's to do with budgets, and it's to do with timescales and how we can arrange things with our families. And I have to say, also talking about budgets, Annihilated have never been a band that have chased the dollar. We've never been people who are trying to get famous and make millions of pounds. Never would have happened anyway. But we've always done things that we really believe in. We've done what we thought was right, and we've always tried to look after people to look after us. And I have to say that since we reformed, that is the warm feeling that we've been receiving from all our fans.
Excellent. Well, I want you to keep in touch with me if you have any news or any shows or anything that's going on with the band. I'll spread the word. If I'm not doing shows for the season I'm working with Softy, I'll get word to the fellow DJs. I'll get word to LC. We'll spread the word any way we can. We'll post on Facebook or MySpace or what have you. So definitely keep in touch with me. Let me know what's going on with you and Annihilated so that we could help spread the word with you guys.
Thanks very much, Dave. That's absolutely brilliant. We certainly will. We'll keep in touch with you. And we hope that the listeners will keep in touch with us as well. So, yeah, fantastic. Good to have you, a friend.
My pleasure. And I feel like I've been talking to a long-distance friend that I've known for a long time. But be honest with everyone, this is the first time I'm actually talking with Bud. And I've really enjoyed our conversation. And again, I want to thank you for being here.
I want to thank you as well. And I have the same feeling as well. And thanks to everyone for listening. Yeah, keep in touch.
Absolutely will. I think we covered a lot today, and I'm looking forward to the future, having you back on the show so we could keep people up to date and talk about more. But before we go and crank up some more Annihilated, I just want to wish you and your bandmates and all in your circle a really successful 2011. And I can't wait to hear the new music, and I can't wait for next year to have you back on the show. If not next year, whenever it comes. It'll happen when it happens, but I will be here for you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, let's crank up some more. And again, thank you so much, Bod, for being here. I've had a blast.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Check it out!